And that's the exciting thing about the city right now is you can see it and you can feel it growing. That's a huge opportunity for so many people who want to get into the events and entertainment industry.
Calgary Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
Okay, so I'm here with Ryan Corey at, where are we? Boxcar.
Yeah.
Which is a new cafe. And I was just wondering, Ryan, how you got involved in Alberta Ballet.
Yeah, well, it actually started, I was playing professional hockey before that, believe it or not, and retired after playing over in France for a year. When I got back to Calgary, I started a nonprofit event management company myself called Classic Events Group. And I was just throwing an annual event every year called The Classic and hosted at some pretty epic venues within the city. Arts Commons, Glenbow Museum, top of the Calgary Tower, and then this past year at Devonian Gardens. So I really started to get interested in the whole dynamic of events and creation and doing something different and unique that not too many people have seen before. It was just through that experience and drive to do something different that I was able to cultivate the opportunity with Alberta Ballet. And since November, I've been there about 4.5 months now. And I've stepped into a project specialist role, which encompasses all of their fundraising and events aspects as well.
And so what kind of things are happening at the event?
Yeah, so we do quite a wide range of events, anywhere from, major galas, the kind of glitz and glamour, right down to an event we did about 3 weeks ago called Bright Young Things, which is more targeted to young urban professionals and exposing, people who haven't really seen the ballet to performing arts in the community, and also highlighting emerging artists and musicians through that particular event. And then we do a ton of different fundraisers, your stereotypical fundraisers for our School of Alberta Ballet, whether it's, casinos, raffles, small little bake sales at the school itself for the students. So it's really your full spectrum of events.
So when you're doing the fundraiser, how do you approach potential sponsors for the event?
Well, you really got to understand your brand and what your event is, and what sponsors you think would align with that lifestyle. That's probably the most important thing I could suggest, is understand the lifestyle of your event, because that's going to be attractive to brands out there who are trying to associate their product or service with a particular group or demographic. From that information, I'll specifically target various businesses in the city or outside the city and try and communicate that lifestyle to them and how it would be advantageous for them to be a part of that particular event.
And what are they providing to you, and what would they be getting in return?
Yeah, so it varies. We do everything from in-kind to financial sponsorships. Those are probably the two obvious ones. My last event, for example, we were able to offset some venue costs, some sound costs. We worked with Proof Bar actually just around the corner. They made a donation back to Alberta Ballet. They can't actually sponsor it because it's alcohol, but they made a donation after the event, out of the goodness of their hearts, which was great. So there's a lot you can leverage through a nonprofit situation as well, but at the end of the day, it's still the same tactics.
What about working with artists? Where are you finding the talent for these events, the performers themselves?
Yeah, so that's probably the most difficult thing. And I think for somebody starting out, that's just time. You have to really put yourself in the industry and the marketplace, constantly check out shows and communicate with the different artists and individuals. And I've had an opportunity to work on a number of events and with a number of amazing people. And I've slowly just built up a tremendous a contact list of different performers. And you got to go to those local venues like Blues Can and the Palomino and to those cafe nights and approach the artists, introduce yourself, and just start collecting information.
So once you have the general idea of what the event's going to be, like the theme and who's performing, where it's going to be, that kind of thing, how do you go about promoting it?
Yeah, so that's probably the most tedious aspect of any event, which nobody likes, but you definitely have to give yourself time. I typically like to start planning an event between 2.5 to 3.5 months in advance, sometimes even 6 months in advance, just so I can get all the pieces in place. And so I can basically designate the last month of the event to just straight up promotion. So you need your 11x7, 17 posters, you need your Facebook banner poster, you need your Instagram poster, you need all these different assets at your disposal to give to partner businesses so they can share it with their networks, to approach businesses in the neighborhood or who may be involved if they're bricks and mortar, to give them material they can post up. Also, if you've done one event before, you got to leverage that contact list you've created through your ticket sales, building up your social media lines as well, and really just using all those resources and as many resources as possible. It's also advantageous to get ticket sellers on board. That's more for for-profit events, who can be ambassadors and advocates for you in the community, and just do word-of-mouth sales as well.
So the promotion, it seems like it can be an endless endeavor, just paying for all the printing and the design and this kind of thing. So how do you know where to spend your budget?
Yeah, well, you can actually do it quite inexpensively if you're thoughtful about the process. It can get expensive in a hurry if you're not. Definitely the poster design is important because that communicates to your audience if this event is legit or not. You could have the best event in the world, but if you created a poster on PowerPoint, it's not going to look that sweet out in the general population. So that's probably the most important thing, is to make sure you get the proper artwork done and it's conveying the feel and the vibe of the event. And from there, you could go down to Staples if you wanted to, as long as your designer puts it in the right format, and print posters there for very inexpensive, and just get on your own 2 feet and go around and network and do it yourself.
So do you find you're doing a lot of pre-sale tickets for the not non-profit events, for the for-profit?
For non-profit and for-profit, I'm a huge stickler to try and push as many pre-sales as possible. The worst feeling for anybody in the event industry is being 3 days out from your event and you're about 30% sold, and you're sweating bullets, sitting down, trying to figure out what the hell you can do. By Friday morning, you may be at 90%, but it's never a good feel to have those 3 days of just question period. So I really like to create a sense of urgency with ticket sales. Also, it's good to stagger sales. So you do an early bird ticket. When that sells out at a certain point, you can say early bird tickets have sold out. Now that's conveying to your marketplace that this event is moving quickly. These people have waited better.
Kind of create some demand for it.
Exactly.
What about volunteers? Do you utilize volunteers?
Yeah, we utilize a ton of volunteers, mostly with our major productions at Alberta Ballet. For my one-off events and even for our fundraisers, you know, our major fundraisers with Alberta Ballet, it's essential to have volunteers. It's definitely easier in the nonprofit world because people are, you know, willing to offer their time for a charitable situation. For a for-profit situation, it could be like pulling teeth looking for individuals to just help out pro bono.
What are they getting out of it?
Volunteers for the nonprofit side, you know, they're just getting that sense of giving back to the community and helping out for a cause they actually care about. Performing arts in Calgary is definitely growing each and every year, and there's a lot of people who understand that it's vital to, you know, the beat of the city to have a thriving, you know, arts program. So for that, it's pretty easy to track the right people. I mean, you can go and just poach people off volunteer sites through social media or look them up online. And for the for-profit side, it all depends on what you're doing. If you're doing an EDM show, you'll want to really target diehard music enthusiasts that really just want a comp ticket to the event and want to feel like they're part of something you know, bigger than themselves. And it's all about community at that point and building it around that kind of topic.
So what is so important about having Alberta Ballet involved in the city? Yeah.
Well, Alberta Ballet is actually the province's largest arts organization. So it's a huge asset to the city of Calgary that the city of Calgary could leverage tremendously on to attract tourism, to attract outside investment, and to build something substantial around your largest arts organization. It's important in the city, not just Alberta Ballet, but any arts organization, because it provides a different perspective on life, on feel. You're looking at something different. It's a night out, it's an escape. And it's really important, you know, for people to expose themselves to those kinds of things, just so they can, I guess, engage a different side of their brain that allows them to generate some creative thought, some brainstorming, some conversation, and it's more the residual impact of art that leads to great things.
I think it's interesting too that the more cultural experiences are haven't really been affected as much from economic downturns. Like, I think that it's important to diversify a marketplace by having a large entertainment industry, because it is something that doesn't follow the trends as other industries do.
Right.
So if people have the opportunity to shift their focus from one type of work to another, then it can just make for a stronger economy. And then, like you said, the experiential part of life, like being able to go and see something that does change your mind, that does influence you, where you're experiencing an alternate culture, it's invaluable to our life experiences.
No, it definitely is, and I totally agree with what you're saying. My dad is also the chair of the Jubilee Foundation, so I've had the opportunity to get exposure to performing arts at a young age, and I think that's where I grew appreciation of it, and it, you know, definitely helped in developing me as a person. Calgary is still getting its legs and its cultural identity, so now I think it's more important than ever that the city and Calgarians invest in the arts, because it's going to shape how our city looks for the next, you know, 1,000 years. The way we can develop these programs and foster these programs within our downtown core is so important, and a lot of people don't see that or realize it until you have failing arts programs. And that's one thing I really strive to make a point of whenever I'm meeting with the city officials or individuals who are vested in arts and entertainment, is I'm a huge advocate for expanding that industry, creating arts and entertainment districts, not just fragmentation of arts organizations throughout the city, but actually consolidating them, and really building a destination that can be a place for Calgarians and visitors from the world. So,
and think about how your experience with hockey informed you as a person, like how you were able to grow from playing hockey, right? Like that same type of experience when you apply it to ballet, like somebody who's performing in the ballet, that is enriching their life, giving them challenges, like overcoming obstacles and fears, maybe performing in front of people, like physically demanding, mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah, I mean, ballet actually has a lot of parallels to hockey at the end of the day. It's, our company's run like a smaller, minor professional hockey league team. You know, our budget's, I believe it's between $12 and $15 million a year. And similar to, like I said, a minor hockey league organization. So you have your administrative staff, you have your athletes, really the ballerinas and the dancers, as they're elite athletes. And there's a ton of parallels. So it was actually a pretty easy transition for me, understanding, you know, where I came from in an elite athletic world, to transitioning over to the ballet, and then having the events background was great.
And when you were living in France, were you experiencing much entertainment culture there?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to avoid it in Europe.
So how would you parallel the events that you saw there to what you're seeing in Calgary?
It's definitely more on the progressive side, and I took a lot of what I saw there, you know, live musicians playing with DJs, visual mapping, where they're projecting images on, you know, solid fixtures, whether it's an old building from the 1600s, and making that building come to life through visuals, right? Another really cool thing. But just in general, they're probably a couple steps ahead of us. And I think that's why it's really important that people travel and experience those things and don't just leave the city, but come back and see a great opportunity here to build those kinds of artistic pieces into our community.
I've certainly noticed it just living and experiencing through the work that I do, like the evolution of the events that are happening in the city. Like, it just seems like there's so much more variety, and the events are getting more and more interesting, like the themes and the locations, and it's just I love how it's growing here. It's amazing.
Yeah. And that's the exciting thing about the city right now, is you can see it and you can feel it growing, and that's a huge opportunity for so many younger and enthusiastic people who want to get into the events and entertainment industry or the arts industry. Is there's a huge opportunity to kind of ride the wave up right now. We haven't hit a ceiling. We won't hit a ceiling for a really long time, and we're definitely not on a downturn. This is a growing and huge potential in this industry right now, and so it'll take a lot of young upstarts to really kind of get us to that point that makes us recognized on the world stage. But I totally agree, you can feel it growing here, and it's an exciting time.
I was wondering what kind of tools you're using when you are planning an event. Like, do you have a calendar that is something that you use a format over and over again, or some software that you could recommend for people?
There's software out there. I wouldn't really recommend too much software, just because it is so expensive, and that's just another overhead cost, and a lot of that same work can be done just with proper organization. You have to be organized to plan events to begin with. A lot of times what I'll do is a work back schedule from the event date itself to figure out what I need to do when, and kind of target my objectives throughout, you know, the 3 months going into an event, just to make sure I'm on time and on pace and I'm not scrambling the last 5 days. But funny enough, regardless of how organized you are, you're always scrambling the last day or two anyways, and you always feel like you're forgetting something.
It's hard to look at every single aspect of an event. So have you used that? Because that's essentially goal setting. You have a goal in mind, and then you're working back from it. Have you applied that in your other aspects of your life?
I would say yes, but it's more so stuck in my head.
Yeah. I think it's not as conscious.
Yeah, it's not, and it's not as concrete or tangible. It's really important to obviously have goals and objectives for yourself, or else you won't grow. Like, you need to have something at the end of the tunnel to really go after. And, you know, some people may have to write it down. Everybody's a different learning skill and sees things differently. So other people, may be good to write things down on a whiteboard or just a piece of paper in your room, so you know that you're working towards something. Write down a handful of goals and then write down process to how you're going to reach those goals. Whether you keep that kind of concept in your head or on paper, at least you're resorting back to it, and always know that there's something at the end of the tunnel that you can go after and achieve.
What is one of your most fond memories from an Alberta Ballet event that you put on?
I would probably say the last event I put on, Bray Young Things, which was at Paul Hardy Design Studio. He's a world-renowned designer right here in Calgary.
That's a beautiful space, too.
Yeah, he's got a great space. We just had so many of the right pieces in terms of Proof Bar YYC coming out that really had that organic local feel. Running the bar, we had world-renowned violinist Sophie Serafino playing. We had our emerging artists dancing. We had a great DJ who's originally from Dubai who brought his kind of dynamic experience to the set. We had great catering, and we had a live painting exhibit by the Fairmont McDonald and Palliser resident artist. And she did a huge, amazing canvas all in real time, which was auctioned off at the end of the night. And it's these little pieces like that that really create a different vibe and feel to an event and offer people something different.
That's like seven different elements all coming together that you had to coordinate to make it happen.
And it's a pain, but at the end of the day, it's well worth it to see how epic it turns out. And just the feedback after, especially for something like Alberta Ballet that is stereotypically so institutional. And, you know, ballet, a lot of people perceive that as old and lethargic and kind of classical, and it doesn't have that, you know, 2016 upbeat progressive mentality. So this was a great opportunity to bring in a younger crowd, mix it with established professionals, do something different, and the feedback of it was just tremendous. Our artistic director complimented me and said everything about it was phenomenal. It was young, it was hip, it was different. And just hearing that from your artistic director is great, and that kind of gives you the confidence that you're on the right path with something and you'll be able to reach a different audience, which I think is very important for an arts organization as well.
So you're kind of fighting against some predisposed notions of what Alberta Ballet is.
Absolutely. And this is our 50th anniversary year. And anytime you, whether you're a business or a service or an organization, you just sit around and you focus on what's worked for the last 50 years rather than what will work for the next 50 years, you're going to become stagnant. And Alberta Ballet's had a ton of great success. They've grown tremendously as well. And I think this has really just reached the ceiling for us, that now we need to look at different things, new things. How are we going to reach this new, younger audience and get them exposed to amazing performing arts? Because they're going to be advocates for the arts industry and entertainment industry in this city for, you know, the next 60 years they're around.
I have to say for myself, I did have a predisposed idea of what dance was. And then I watched Pina.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind, just how much emotion can be expressed with the physical body and music together, it's crazy. I guess lighting. But yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it, and just going back to the culture, like if people are exposed to that, it just enriches our life so much. And that's what I love about the events industry, is that you're giving somebody an experience that will last in their memory.
Yep.
And it isn't just the day in, day out. It's something that sticks out, and you're able to provide that.
I can definitely say that's a rewarding piece about events, and probably for the performing artists themselves, is being able to offer that piece of visual or dynamic performance or sound that, you know, creates an experience that somebody may never forget. It could even be life-altering for them. Mm-hmm. The way these dancers give themselves away to the music and the feeling, they really have to totally let their bodies go, and you can see the emotion in it. And it's just like you would with a music performer. All the best performers in the world are ones that totally dedicate their body, mind, and soul to that specific song. And that resonates with whoever's watching it. And, you know, you can, as an event organizer, you can really plan all those aspects into your event. How are you going to create that feeling? How is it going to be dynamic? How is that sound going to affect somebody? And a lot of people kind of laugh at over-planning that. You know, why are you so concerned about how this 2 hours of music flows throughout the evening? It's because with every song, it's dictating a different emotion in that room.
Yeah, I was involved in an event where there was an idea to have the lighting change from kind of a sunrise to sunset as the dinner was coming by. Mm-hmm. And people were you know, milling around, having cocktails and whatnot. And we basically just slowly transitioned from like a bright yellowy orange into like purples and blues kind of thing.
Awesome.
And people, it's something that it's not immediately tangible when you're there, like where you don't really notice that it's happening, but it's affecting you on this totally subconscious level.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But what about a painful memory from an event?
Well, my broken finger.
is
which we talked about that off the record, but I did fracture and crush my finger actually after Bright Young Things helping our director from the School of Alberta Ballet bring back some furled up dance floor to the warehouse, and it was about 9:30 a.m. and had to help him out for about half an hour. I was just looking forward to lounging in my bed all day after putting the event to bed, and tragic accident on the hand. But I mean, for a realistic standpoint, because that won't happen to everybody, you know, I've raised personally before I started with Alberta Ballet over $100,000 through my events for various organizations or just individuals suffering from disease in the community. And it was something I was very proud of. And my last event was my biggest production, $20,000 budget, which I paid for out of my own pocket. And I was looking to raise money for the Big Give and the Tom Baker Cancer Foundation. And just hugely noticeable effect with the economy. Ticket sales were down, and I just broke even on that event. And that was pretty frustrating and disappointing, you know, especially when you're fundraising for something. You know, I could care less if it was for myself, because, you know, I broke even. It was a great event. Chalk it up and do a better job next time. But this one was really difficult for me because I couldn't write a check at the end of the day to either of those organizations. It was an amazing event. I had Cirque de la Nuit out for it. We had live musicians. We had three DJs. I think we had probably seven performers in total. It was at Devonian Gardens, just such an epic event. But nobody was buying tickets. And then nobody was spending as much as they typically do on the silent auction. So that was, I would call that a setback. And it was challenging for me to swallow that pill, because I want to do the best job.
What was the main thing that you learned from that event that you applied to the following one?
Probably to not try and do everything myself. That was a huge budget event. And I literally organized the entire thing myself. I only had a handful of volunteers. Some of my colleagues from Alberta Ballet actually came to help, and thank God, or else I would have been selling drink tickets, registering, closing silent auction, and emceeing all at the same time.
It's funny. I keep learning that lesson over and over again myself, yeah. Too. I try to take on too much, and then whenever you do get more than one person involved, it exponentially improves the outcome.
It does, and I think that's a huge learning quality. I think a lot of people who get into events probably have the same mindset as you and I, where you're self-starters, you're organized, you really do think you can do it all on your own. As you get older, you realize that a smaller piece of a bigger pie is a lot more effective. And you can produce amazing events when you collaborate with other individuals. I've built a great relationship with Cirque de la Nuit over the last year. And prior to me building that relationship, I would always hire out hoopers and performing artists myself. And it was all right. It provided something different and visual that guests could enjoy, but it wasn't epic. And working with Cirque de la Nuit totally transforms that into an absolutely epic production, and allowed me to just focus on hiring out the music talent for the event. Going forward, it's much easier for any event planner to just be the coordinator of seven different organizers. Someone for sound, someone for performing art, someone for music, someone for silent auction, someone for bar.
Yep.
Make sure you delegate all these things out if you have it at your disposal, and it'll make life a hell of a lot easier.
And the hardest part, I think, is working within that budget to be able to hire the talented right. people that you are able to manage. But if it is possible, then for sure. I mean, having just one other person involved is... will increase the ticket sales. Like every single Absolutely. Person that gets involved, I always kind of marvel at the Market Collective, because they have this massive volunteer base,
yeah.
and then they also have all of the vendors themselves, and every like all of those people are promoting the event yeah. for them as well. It's not just the couple of coordinators kind of thing. So But if you could, if you're on a desert island and you could only have one meal every day for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Well, I'm from Alberta, so I have to go with steak.
Right on. If people are looking to get a hold of you or to learn more about the Alberta Ballet, where should they go?
Yeah, they can email me, Ryan C, R-Y-A-N-C, at albertaballet.com. And yeah, it's a great job. I'm definitely interested to communicate as much as possible with people and show them how things are done there and get them involved with our organization just so they can see how things are done on a small and major scale. And, you know, I'm still heavily involved in the events industry outside of my work with Alberta Ballet as well, and do lots of talent buying in my own productions. So I'm looking for people every day and all days just to connect with and build relationships with and work towards common goals. So
thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Duncan Kenworthy, Eric Jesse, and Chris Benoit. Visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.